How did it go for Wendy going on a date with her ex-fiancé? We got to hear from her over the weekend. And do women have crazy return policies that men don't have?
Shouldn't have said crazy and women in the same
That's
sentence,
right.
man.
Yeah. I really
screwed
that one up.
Easy there.
My bad. And mealworms. That's right, mealworms. We talked about that this morning, too. You'll hear it all right now in the podcast.
The Kelly Jordan Show.
Going on a date with your ex-fiance, that's what Wendy had going on over the weekend. She talked to us on Friday and told us all about it. And hopefully the date happened. We don't know, but that is why we have Wendy back on the phone with us now. Wendy, what's going on? How was the weekend?
Hi. It was awesome.
I love that.
It was awesome. It was, so, you know, let's be real. It was a little awkward at first. You know, we kind of, it was kind of one of those, like, hug, kiss, what do we do? You know, kind of one of those.
Yeah.
And then we just, you know, gave him a kiss on the cheek and, you know, and then we, you know, we sat down and then, you know, we each had a glass of wine and we kind of both kind of loosened up and we just caught up. It was like two people who haven't seen each other in a while, but kind of knew what was going on in their lives. And we just caught up. It's like, you know, it was nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's a lot to be said for nice.
Was it just, did you guys do anything after dinner? Was it just like, let's get together for dinner?
Yeah. Out of the gutter, please.
No. I mean, you were engaged. Hey, hold on a second here. You were engaged to this guy. It stands to reason.
Oh.
And everybody was thinking it. I just had the courage to say it.
No, we decided dinner was going to be it for this weekend. But it lasted like 3 hours.
I was going to say, did you have one of those long conversations? Remember when you first start dating somebody and you talk to them for like 4 hours?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it was. It was like kind of, and not, you know, being a little superficial. He's looking really good.
Mm-hmm. You're allowed to do that. Yas queen.
Yeah. Mm.
We're thinking of going out to dinner again. So
that's what I was going to ask you. So the date ends.
Yes.
Where do you go? Okay. We all know it ended at dinner.
Yeah.
What was the final conversation? And have you guys been texting since then?
Yes, we actually have. And I think both of us we are taking it slow. Like we both realize, and we talked, and that's the other thing. We talked about this. It's like, okay, we're adults now, which is kind of weird. I think surprised both of us that we were having very open and adult conversations.
Right.
And that's really cool. It's just really cool because we kind of left it where we were still kids, you know, and 5 years is there's a lot that's happened in his life and my life. And I don't know. We'll see.
I love that. I love that you had kind of the past, that foundation. You've grown up a little bit.
Yes.
I think for me, the only thing that would be kind of cringy and hard, but, you know, I grew up too, but is you both saw other people during that time.
Yeah.
So did that ever feel weird, you picturing him making out with other girls and vice versa?
Yeah. Get your mind out of the gutter, Chelsea. Where are you going with this?
Just like kissing.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of steered away from, like, we both knew because, like I said, we've been friends on Facebook. So we kind of knew that the other person was, not that I followed him or stalked him or that he did the same, but we kind of knew. But I think that's also part of the thing. It's like, we grew up. We're like, yeah, well, you know, he wasn't a monk and I wasn't a nun, you know? I mean,
right. Get your freak on.
Yeah.
You know, there you go.
The way I look at that, too, is like, you know, if this is a brand new person in your life, obviously that person had been with other people, too. So it's like, you got to let that be water under the bridge.
I can't go there. I get so territorial. But no, kudos to you guys.
Yeah.
I'm glad it went well. And you still have the ring burning a hole in your dresser drawer.
Exactly. Well, he'll save some money if it happens again. We'll see.
Ooh. Wendy, this was awesome. I'm so glad that the date went well. I'm so glad you guys are taking it slow and in an adult manner.
Yeah.
This all seems to be great. I got a good feeling about this one.
Thanks. I'm excited.
You have yourself a great rest of the week, okay?
Thanks so much.
That had, like, I don't know, decorative spices and stuff on it. And she's like, don't get that thing dirty. I might return it. I'm like, what is this new thing of buying things with the intent of returning it?
Why doesn't she just sell it on eBay as like a side job?
Yeah.
It's because she won't. Dude, I threw away out of our garage this past weekend a bed, like a metal bed. I just threw it in the recycling thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, what if we were going to use that bed? I'm like, that thing has been sitting in the garage for 3 years. If it's been in there for 3 years and we haven't touched it, we're not going to use it.
This sounds like a Mexican thing, though. My mom is the same way. My mom keeps everything, tags everything.
Right.
And she's got trash all over the house. My mom is so bad, she keeps old scratch-off tickets in case she wins one. So she can be like, well, I've been playing for long enough, so she doesn't get taxed.
If people don't know, my wife is Mexican. That's why Brian Riley said that.
We're getting into hoarder territory.
Slowly.
But the fact that she keeps tags on everything. Now, I knew some girls who would do this with like their prom dresses.
That makes sense.
Yes. And they would
wear it, take it back.
And they would try to return it. And that's just gross. And there, you know what? There are some stores, I will not name them, but they will take anything back.
I will. Walmart.
Anything.
Walmart will take just over the weekend, I bought some blackout shades for the bedroom. $15. My wife didn't like them. I was like, well, the box is all ripped up now. I was like, let's just keep them. They were $15.
Right.
She's like, no, I'm just going to put them in a bag and take them back. And they took them back.
Oh, my gosh.
I was at the grocery store once. I saw somebody bring back groceries.
You can't do that.
Canned food. They brought. I don't know how it worked out.
And what is that, 89 cents?
I don't know how much they
saved. There are policies. See, and when I was in customer service, I was such a rule follower.
Yeah.
And I would tell people off. I had this chick who brought back this canoe. She said that her daughter, it was a plastic canoe, right?
Okay.
She said her daughter, it was broken or whatever. And I was like, how was it broken? Did it sink? She's like, no, my daughter just said it couldn't turn left. And I looked at her.
Oh, my God.
And I said, sounds more like operator error. So this woman got ticked.
Heck yeah. Customer's always right.
No, they ain't. The white shirts came down. Turns out the white shirt had dated her in high school. So he let her return it. This thing was filled with water. It had scratches on the bottom. The seat were ripped. And
good
I was,
God, how long did they have this thing?
That's what she said, just one weekend, but it didn't work, right? So then the other manager comes down. He's like 100 feet away. He's like, who took that back? And I said, Brandon.
Look at Brenda texting in. It is a Mexican thing. My husband is Mexican.
She gets it.
There's tags on everything.
Look, you have to.
Allie texting in, my entire maternity picture outfit, wore it for the pictures, and then returned it all.
Mark,
see, that makes sense. I'm talking about like a $5 rug. I'm like, you know what? Let's eat the cost.
You know what? Actually, I used to deliver furniture.
Yeah.
And if they ever offer like the 5-year protection plan, take it. Because I remember there was a couch and you can return it trashed.
Yeah.
Like, I remember there was a couch. The back didn't even connect to the base of the couch. We swapped it out for a brand new
Seriously?
One.
Seriously?
Zero cost to the customer.
Hey-o.
I'm telling you, pay for that stuff.
Well,
it's worth it.
Richard says, my wife says, I'm a hoarder, but I kids?
There you go.
I can't read that. I'm sorry. I don't know if that's voice to text or what that is.
I kid you not. She asks if I have something. I almost always have it.
Oh, okay.
I can translate.
Thank you. I don't have my glasses on. Tishel texting in, Kohl's takes everything back, too.
Everything back. Half-used makeup. I mean, it's just bad.
It's just.
Man.
I feel like I can't be comfortable in my own home, though, because I don't know what's staying and what's leaving.
At what point, though, is it theft, right? I'm such a rule breaker.
That's a good question.
If you use it and you use it and then you bring it back, it's like the people at the restaurants are like, I didn't like my food and their plate's empty.
Yeah.
And they want to get comped.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Don't be that cheap.
Yeah. I don't know. I got to call an end to this. I'm just going to start cutting the tags off of things. Like,
you
can't return it.
You're not going
to
do it.
No, I've never once stood up to my wife, and I'm certainly not going to start over this.
The Kelly Jordan Show.
2-second tune is exactly what it sounds like. We hear 2 seconds of a song, and we have to identify it. Brian Riley, today you will act as host.
Big dog got to be the host.
That's right. Chelsea and I will go head-to-head in a round of 2-second tune. Chelsea, are you ready?
Yes.
Is there any theme to this one, Brian?
Country music.
Okay.
Is the theme.
Good enough theme. Okay. Chelsea will probably wipe the floor with me on this one.
Don't worry. You might be able to get the last one.
All right. Here we go. Brian Riley, first 2-second tune.
Stay there till they forced us out.
Chelsea.
Yep.
Springsteen.
Oh, man.
Who's the artist?
Springsteen.
Gotta get the artist.
Eric Church.
Hey! Oh, man.
I
love love that
with
song.
With the warm weather, windows down, listening to that, there's nothing better.
Heck yeah.
Literally nothing
Record
better.
Year is my absolute favorite Eric Church song.
So
man.
Good.
Oh, I love that one. All right, Chelsea pulls out to an early lead.
She got 1 point.
Yeah.
All right, next clip, please. My cousin saw you dang it!
All right, Chelsea.
White Liar, Miranda Lambert.
Hey.
Out Chelsea was a Miranda super fan.
I
so
am
that
a Miranda super fan.
Well, I'm a fan too, but dang, I couldn't even get my bat off the shoulder
but
on that
not
one.
A super fan, Kelly.
All right.
The bonus song, coincidentally, worth 2.5 points.
Oh, sweet. I can make
2.5 points on this line. And the theme is, it's a one-hit wonder country song.
This is going to be the quickest round of two-second tune in the history of the game. One-hit wonder, two-second tune, worth 2.5 points. Here we go. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. An absolute jam of a
That's
song.
A tough one.
God, oh, God.
I might need to hear that one for 2 more seconds.
Play it again. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, okay. It's only 2 seconds.
I know
second
the song, but I don't know who sings it.
I don't even know who sings
it. Okay, Chelsea. It's I'll Pray For You. Pray For You. And I don't know who sings it.
That's probably half a point.
You got half a point there.
Which is enough to win.
And it's enough to win. She has you beat. She has you beat.
What song is it?
It's I Pray For You, Jaren and the Long Road for Love.
I pray your birthday comes and nobody calls. I pray you're flying high when your engine stalls. I pray.
I forgot about that song.
It's such a jam.
It is such a banger.
What was the name of the group?
Jaren and the Long Road to Love.
That's why he had a one hit because his band name sucks.
No one wanted to say that. No one wanted to say that name on the radio.
Were you going to say Jaren and the Long Road to Love? Is that a poetry reading? What?
Wait, say it one more time. Jaren and the who?
Yeah, Jaren and the Long Road to Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, long road.
Well, Chelsea, you did it in quick fashion, too. That was
made you look like a chump.
Yeah, I'm not doing so hot today. I got to stop drinking on the weekends. The older I get, the longer it affects me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you.
So you guys have seen these Apple Vision Pros, right?
Yeah.
Kind of creepy almost a little bit. Well, now the new trend is, and a couple just did this and posted pictures of it, they did a 100% virtual wedding just wearing their Apple Vision Pros.
What does that mean? They weren't even in the same room?
So, no, they were in the same room.
Okay.
But everything was virtual. The whole thing was virtual, which I don't know what that means. I guess it would be a virtual church, a virtual dance party afterwards.
Do they have that in the background? Like
It would save you a ton of money if you think about it.
But it'd feel fake.
It would feel fake. But I mean, think about it. Say it was like your second or third marriage, and you would just be like, all right, cool. Let's save a bundle of money. Instead, we'll just do it. We'll get a virtual pastor to marry us.
They do it in the living room of their own house?
Yeah, they just did it at home. That's but they were both wearing their Apple Vision Pros, and they said, we just wanted to save money, but still have a wedding, and so that's how they did it.
Oh, my gosh.
Nothing like getting married without pants on, because nobody can tell, you
right.
know?
They have, like, a virtual family with, like, a virtual baby and a virtual nice house.
And I guess, if you think about it, you could just tell your family, all right, if you want to attend the wedding, get yourself an Apple Vision Pro. Drop $7,000 or whatever those things are. I don't even know how much they cost. And you can attend their wedding. This is the future of weddings, dude.
I'm kind of in on it.
You are?
I'm kind of in on it. You don't have to drive there. You don't have to pay for a hotel room. You could do it from the comfort of your own living room.
Yeah, but I like going to weddings. I think weddings are fun.
I'm same. That's like you see your family and your friends like only at weddings and funerals.
Yep.
And if you take that away, then you're never going to leave your house. You'd be like, Brian, you're just going to be ice fishing by yourself all the time.
He likes that, though.
Yeah, I'm wondering where the whole downside of this is. I haven't heard one yet.
But I'll tell you. So, you know, I've been DJing weddings since I was 18 years old. And right. I've noticed a trend lately of weddings getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
Things are more expensive.
Right. And so this is the logical next step. I have so many wedding DJ friends who, like, their business is way down.
I believe it.
Because this is going to be the next step.
Kelly's going to be in his basement at home DJing this virtual wedding.
You're going to be quick mixing with some iVision Pros on.
How awesome would that be? Just log into my thing and I'll be your wedding DJ from my house.
Your wife is yelling down the steps. Yeah. Hey, dinner's ready. Get up here.
Kelly drinking by himself at the bar. DJ. Well, I mean, what else is new, I guess, you know?
All right. Did you guys know that you could get a DUI in a canoe?
You're kidding.
What?
No, I'm not. A man got a DUI in a canoe. This is in New Hampshire. New Hampshire? New Hampshire, yeah, not New Hampshire.
Depends if you're classy.
Right, and I am not. A man was charged with a DUI after his canoe capsized. Now, the reason he got a DUI is because his two children were in the canoe with him, and the water was ice cold. So the family had to be rescued from the lake that they were canoeing in. And when they pulled the guy from the water, he was three sheets to the wind.
Ooh.
So he's in a canoe drunk with his kids. And
well, how else are you going to stay warm?
Right. Or how else are you going to enjoy canoeing?
Right.
What the heck?
If that's the case, if you can get a DUI in a canoe, my dad would have had 35 DUIs in his lifetime. Although he was never in a canoe. It was always just a fishing boat.
Now, I knew a guy who got pulled over three times on his bicycle. And because he had DUIs, he had his license suspended, and then he had his vehicles just completely towed away.
Yeah.
And he kept getting drunk and riding on his bicycle, and he would get pulled over. He tried to outrun them, or outbike them, I should say, in between the alleys. But like, I thought it had to be like motorized or like on a roadway.
No, you can do it. Because I remember I was asking when I got my electric scooter, could I get a DUI on my electric scooter? Because there's nothing I like more than getting a little buzz on and going for a scooter ride around the neighborhood in the summertime.
But see, that is a motor. Trashy.
Trashy.
Especially
with
your kids.
How is that trashy? Because of how you just said it. There's nothing I like more than getting buzzed up and taking my electric scooter around the neighborhood.
Okay, there are things that I do like more, but that's pretty freaking high on the list.
But in a canoe, you're just floating around in a canoe with your kids.
Yeah, that's pretty trashy.
Ugh.
But yeah, so if you plan on getting drunk and getting in a canoe, know that you can get a DUI.
That's traumatizing.
You can also get one on an electric scooter
can
riding around.
Can you get a designated rower? Like if the kids rowed, does that still count?
Because I
wonder. You're on the boat.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't row. I was just drinking. Like, is that how? Can you get out of it that way?
That would be awesome.
That's straight up negligence at that point.
I wouldn't do that with my kids. Hey, kids, row dad around the lake.
Yeah.
I'm going to knock down a sixer. So one of you is going to have to drive home,
too. Yeah, one of you guys going to have to drive home as well. Well, hopefully you can figure it out.
Hey, my daughter's going to be 16 in 2 years, so I got a plan going. Hey,
she's
going
to be 15 next year with a permit, right?
Yep.
I know you can't be a lot of parents who use their kids for sober camp.
Kelly.
But you can't be tipsy if you're the parent.
Yeah, look, you can't be, but
tipsy
you could
canoe.
Be. Just saying.
All right, you guys are making me look bad.
Yeah, it's us.
It's time now for the Small Town Salute.
We want to say good morning to everybody listening in Halliday, North Dakota, population 204. And the American Legion Post 46 wants you to know they got a big St. Patrick's Day brunch going on March 17th with corned beef hash, green eggs and ham, and a Bloody Mary bar. If you need more information, they say contact Greg. That sounds like a big party for a town that only covers 0.47 square miles, but that's why Halliday, North Dakota, you get today's Small Town Salute.
That was your Small Town Salute on The Kelly Jordan Show. The Kelly Jordan Show.
We are inside the Golden Ring of Games. We have Brian on the phone right now. Brian is going to play a little Midwest trivia. What are you up to, Brian?
Just going to work.
All right.
In the parking lot.
Sitting in the parking lot? Just can't quite make that commitment yet, huh?
Well, I start at 7.
Oh, okay.
Be a few minutes.
All right, brother. Well, let's see if we can't make you a winner this morning in the Golden Ring of Games. Midwest trivia. Are you ready? You got 5 seconds to answer.
Okay.
What is not allowed on Michigan's Mackinac Island? Ooh, that's your 5 seconds right there.
No one knows that answer.
Is it alcohol?
No, alcohol is allowed.
Is it people?
No, people are allowed.
Cars?
What's that?
I said cars. Fine.
Cars is the correct answer.
Give it to them. Give it to them.
You cannot have cars on Mackinac Island. You had to take a bicicleta everywhere.
No one lives in Michigan.
Okay. Bicicleta.
I was in Toronto, and we went to an island, and there was no cars allowed on that island.
Oh, I've been to Mackinac Island. It's a blast, man. It is so fun to go there.
Looks really pretty.
So this is a biased question, is what you're saying.
Aww.
Look, man, it's your first day here this early. You don't need to be dunking all over everything, Brian. Well,
should I give it to Brian? When you said 5 seconds.
Brian did get it after the 5 seconds. Should I give it to him or not?
Yeah, give it to him. It's Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chelsea, give it to him. All right. Brian, you're a winner this morning in the Golden Ring of Games. Hold on a second, Brian. I'll get your information from you. All right, we got the morning survey on the way next. We asked you, did you ever have a fake ID? And if you did, how did you use it? You left us some voicemails. We're going to play those back for you in just 5 minutes.
Yeah, more country in the morning.
You're listening to The Kelly Jordan Show.
Country mornings are the best. Sometimes Kelly finds things interesting that no one else does. We mean absolutely no one. It's time for Maybe It's Just Me.
So why are they dumping tons and tons and thousands of mealworms into landfills? Well, they have learned that mealworms can eat plastic and styrofoam with absolutely no side effects.
What?
I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
Oh, yeah, because you know more than the researchers.
No, not about the mealworms. I don't buy that there's no side effects.
Well, that's what they say. So mealworms, isn't a mealworm, isn't that what a waxworm is? No, that's a maggot.
It's similar, but it's different.
It's got the shell on it. Yeah, it's just this little grubby thing.
Are waxworms maggots? Is that what they are?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, well, these look just like that, but they found that. But now here's the thing. This is why they're dumping thousands of them in to test, because it takes about 3,000 to 4,000 mealworms to digest, to eat one styrofoam cup. Okay. In a couple of hours.
How many? That visual freaks me out.
3,000 to 4,000 of them.
For one cup.
For one styrofoam cup.
One cup.
We're putting these where?
In landfills to eat the plastic.
Okay.
But then the thing is, you have 3,000 to 4,000 mealworms on your hands. But I would guess birds would come and eat the mealworms then, right?
Oh, gosh.
Are the birds going to get sick because they're eating mealworms who ate plastic and styrofoam?
We're going to have mutant birds.
The other thing, I was looking it up. Mealworms turn into beetles.
Okay. Oh, they evolve.
Oh, I thought they turned into moths.
No, that's waxworms.
Oh, okay. Boy, I am just all
out. You are really researched out.
Then the beetles eat the cup? So now you're going to have worms, then beetles.
With plastic on their insides.
And they're only doing a couple thousand? Or are they doing tens of thousands?
They're doing tens of thousands. Yeah. To see if. Because when they digest it, they say they digest it and it just biodegrades into dirt. Then.
Look, I'm not a math guy. We don't do math on the show.
No one does.
But when you said 2,000.
It takes 3,000 to 4,000 for one cup.
So if we do tens of thousands, what, we're going to eat 7 cups?
No, but the thing is,
saving the environment.
How many cups at a time?
They eat constantly. So around the clock, they're just constantly eating. It takes them a few hours to get one cup down.
Well, we're going to get.
What goes in must come out. So now you got all this other waste that's going on.
We are going to get military sized maggots by the time that. I'm talking like 3 foot long
like size worms.
It may happen.
That's gross. Could you imagine the size of those beetles?
No, thank you.
Maybe this is just the start of us learning something, you know, how to get rid of plastic and styrofoam.
This is almost the start of like a superhero thing, how the Ninja Turtles started. We threw a bunch of mealworms in a landfill. They ate toxic waste. Right. Next thing we know, we have the Teenage Mutant Battle Borg
thing. They're eating batteries and stuff.
Beetle.
There's one rat in there that's like in charge of all of them. There's a little stick.
Oh.
I find it interesting, though, that they figured out, at least they're starting to figure out, how can we get rid of some of this plastic and styrofoam that we're dumping into these landfills.
I mean, that's good.
Why don't they just replicate the juices in their tummy and then spray that, just a bunch of bug juice all over to use all plastic?
It's already been created. The perfect vessel has already been created in the form of a mealworm.
PETA is going to freak out.
I kind of hope we find some superheroes out of the deal. That'd be sweet. I want some Teenage Mutant
Beetles?
Worm
Beetles.
Things. Well, that'd be cool.
Maybe you guys didn't find this one interesting. I did. I think it's cool. I think it's cool when they figure out something like this. Now, you maybe didn't like it. Maybe you think, well, this is a cruel thing to do. Or maybe you're like Brian Riley. You think we're going to have a race of mutant beetles on our hands.
That'd be awesome.
Either way, I will have another one for you tomorrow. And it's possible I'm the only one that's going to find it interesting. And that's okay, because sometimes... He had to carry it 1,000 feet.
It's time to focus on the good news with Happy Hour.
It makes me happy.
Sergio Florian, which is one of the coolest names I've ever heard in my life.
Very cool.
Well, he lives in Hawaii, and he is a huge hiker, loves to go hiking, and he was on one of the most dangerous trails in Hawaii, he said, because there's cliffs on one side, and there is forest on the other, and there ain't nowhere to go.
Oh.
Except for over the cliff. Well, he was doing that, and he came across a very, very scared dog. Now, the dog at first would not come to him, but it was shaking. It was clearly malnourished. It clearly hadn't eaten in a long time. And so Sergio said, I can't just leave this dog here, even though he won't come to me. So Sergio sat there. He said, I'm going to sit here as long as it takes for this dog to see that he can trust me, that I'm comfortable with him. Sat there for almost 90 minutes.
Wow.
Just with this dog, trying to show that he was okay. Well, finally, I don't know how dogs think, but the dog must have been like, okay, Sergio, clearly a good dude. I'm going to walk over to him and let him, you know, pet me, whatever, console me. Sergio said the dog was limping, couldn't really walk on its own. And so he said, well, I can't just, what am I going to do here? And it was a dangerous area with cliffs everywhere. He said, I'm going to have to carry this dog back down the trail with me.
What? What?
They were up 1,000 feet.
That's crazy.
So he, and this is a big dog too. It's like a big pit bull he had to carry down.
Ooh.
So he carries it. He posts on Instagram, look, I found this dog on the trail. Does anybody possibly know who it might belong to? Well, it turns out the dog, who he found out was named Stevie, had ran off from its owner when the owner was hiking those same trails. And the owner could not find the dog anywhere, so heartbreakingly had to just leave.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they couldn't stay out there at nighttime, so they had to go. Luckily, Stevie's owner saw this picture that Sergio had posted on Instagram and said, yeah, that's our dog, Stevie. Thank you so much. He said, look, my arms are sore from carrying this dog down the path, but my heart could not be more full, and I could not be more happy that I was able to find the owners of this dog.
That is awesome.
That's crazy.
And I bet Stevie was so happy, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Have you ever, you know how they say that dogs don't really have like a long-term memory? Have you ever heard that before?
I don't think that's true.
I don't think it's true either, because our dog used to go get so happy, because I'm thinking of how happy Stevie must have been when she saw her owners again. Our dog would lose its mind when my mother-in-law would come over to visit.
Yes.
Like, make the weirdest, like, crying noises, almost like, it's so happy to see my mother-in-law.
Nana, it's their Nana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know cats did the same thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My cat.
I didn't think cats did anything.
Either did I. And then my cat knows our cars.
Really?
So, like, I'll pull in, and it'll see, and then it'll come to the wind, like, the door, the sliding door, and it'll, like, paw at the door. Oh, yeah. It makes a lot of noise when I walk in. It's crazy. I had no idea either.
I think it's 1 out of 5 cats. The rest don't care.
Right.
Probably not.
The rest is going to the bears.
That's all right. I'll take that.
Our old dog, though, too, when we moved from Minnesota back to Texas, we had to leave our dog behind because we couldn't have him in our apartment. So my parents took him. And when we would come back to visit, he would just go insane when he would see us.
See, they remember.
I know.
Oh, what a sweetheart for him to wait there and carry that dog all the way down and reunite. I love this
Sergio's
story.
Got a big heart and a cool name, and that is exactly why we do these stories every single day, because if we don't shine a beacon of light in the darkness, it ain't going to happen. Then you know what you're going to have? You're going to have the news telling you we all hate each other. Well, it ain't true. And Sergio is a phenomenal example of that. And we'll do another one for you tomorrow. And we do it every day thanks to Audio Video Extremes. That is your happy hour. Welcome to the bonus track. It's our very first break of the day. Animal cruelty was the topic of conversation this morning.
Yeah, I might just willingly call PETA.
Hey, okay, on my dead father.
I didn't know that like that could be genetically passed on. We found out today.
Yikes. You'll understand what we're talking about in the bonus track. It's our first break of the day. We tack it on the end of the podcast. Monday morning, and now there's three, Brian, Chelsea, and Kelly. The morning show is on the air, so go on up and comb your hair.
Yeah, that was it.
Fell apart at the end there. That's
no,
right.
It didn't.
Brian, don't lie.
That was really good.
That was fire.
That was hot fire in the morning.
Why are you here?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Hey, listen, don't be bringing that negativity in here this morning, man.
Hot ice.
Anyway, wasn't me. Good morning to all of you. Brian Riley joining us this morning. Okay, of course, Chelsea is here always. My name is Kelly, and everybody have a good weekend?
It was a great weekend.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
It was beautiful. Well,
it was.
My horse had to get a few pedicures over the weekend. He had a little limp, so I did that a lot. Hung out with some goats.
Okay.
It was the most exhilarating thing I've ever heard.
That's interesting.
And I made a 6-pound corned beef brisket yesterday.
Go on, get it, girl. Was that for St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, my gosh. The whole month. I just crave it all month long. And I'm like, I'm getting it. I'm doing this. I found it at the grocery store, Chelsea?
Is that the word you're looking for?
I was going to say a specific one, but yeah. It's all good. They won't endorse me yet, so I don't want to say their name.
Right. What about you, Brian? You were in Nashville.
I was in Nashville all week. So I'm recovering from the hangover still.
Because you don't drink normally.
No. Was it
multiple hangovers, Brian, or was it just one?
I think it just like turned into one super long one after you do it every single day.
Why'd you go so hard day one?
Well, it wasn't like I'm over here planning to get drunk. Like, you know how I am. I'm always like, I don't drink. If I have a drink, it'll be one, maybe two.
Yeah, you're very responsible when it comes to drinking.
One, maybe two. I just don't like being hungover.
Right.
So we get there on Tuesday, and the bosses were like, we're going for it.
Hey,
we're going for it today. And they're like, Brian, you in? And I'm not going to tell the bosses no.
Boss was instigating?
Duh.
Uh-oh.
And I'm not going to be the one to be like, no. I'm trying to get a raise here. So I was like, yeah, I'm in.
Good for you. It's a way to do it.
So get this. So the first day we get there is Tuesday. And CRS, Country Radio Seminar, you go to a bunch of record label things.
Yep.
Because they want you to play their artists.
Good for you.
So Jim, one of our bosses, his daughter works for a record label out in Nashville.
Oh, really?
So we went to their party.
Yeah, I knew that.
So we went to their party. And before that, I flew in wearing golf shorts, a t-shirt, skate shoes. My normal attire.
Did you at least take off the neck pillow that you were wearing throughout the airport?
Okay, I did. That was actually the worst neck pillow ever. I almost threw that away. But we get there and we're about to leave. And I look at JD, James, our boss, and I go, yeah. Hey, should I put some jeans on for this thing? And he goes, no, you're fine. You're fine. I show up to this like corporate outing in a very nice bar restaurant. Like everyone eating dinner there, full suits. Like that's what type of place we're in. I'm wearing shorts.
Looking like you came from the lake.
Straight up. I look like I just got off a longboard and I was just cruising around Nashville.
Like, where'd you find him? Oh, some back alley.
It was awful. So then I'm like, everyone's like, let's get a drink. I was like, I'll take a wine. They Ooh. Had, it oh, was classy. The classy. Biggest glass of wine. And I don't mean like the amount of alcohol. I mean, the glass was probably the size of my head.
Yeah.
With like, so I'm holding this monster sized glass of wine next to.
Trashy or classy?
Oh, it was.
In his shorts.
And in my shorts, my skate shoes, and my t-shirt. So get this, later on that night, we go out and we do our whole thing. We're partying. I run into a guy that used to work with our old boss. And I go, what was some things that like he taught you back then? He goes, oh, he taught me a lot. Like one, always wear jeans to everything. Oh. And I look at the boss and go, hey, bud, where was I on this? Did I say, hey, should I wear jeans to this? He goes, you should learn on your own. That was his exact
question. That's the best way to learn a lesson.
Yeah. Brian, so I look like that.
I've just found that if you have to ask the question, the answer is yes.
Better to be overdressed than underdressed.
100%.
Yeah, well, I learned that the hard way.
Because some of the restaurants down there, especially when you're with those big labels, we had maitre d's that were looking at us like, we're letting that in. Like, that's coming through the doors.
Oh, they were letting me in, rain or shine. Like, I was in, and they were like, I'm regretting this decision.
Yeah.
Super hard. I remember shaking one guy's hand.
It's funny if other people got up and left when you came in.
I shook one guy's hand, and he gave me the look from up to down. He goes, so what do you do? I was like, I'm a morning show DJ. And he goes, oh, okay. And I don't think I ever talked to him again. Like, he walked away quick.
Is there anywhere? I got a question for you guys. Chelsea, you're an animal lover.
I am.
Is there any worse feeling than seeing a mouse in your house at 8:30 at night when you know it's time to go to bed?
Oh, no, because then you got to catch it. The only thing I could think of worse than that was like bats trapped in the ceiling.
Okay, that's bad.
Through the walls.
That's disgusting. Yeah, I had that in a house that I rented one time. But I saw yesterday a mouse at 8:30 at night. Ooh. And I killed this thing in maybe the most brutal fashion ever.
It's like a tiny little mouse.
It was a straight execution. It was a mafia style hit on this thing.
Why didn't you just trap it and set it free?
Why? So it can come back and I'll be damned.
So it could be, eaten by an owl. It's called the circle.
So a hawk can come get it?
Yeah, that's
fine. No, that would be doing a disservice to my neighbors letting it go out in the yard. I killed them things.
Am I going to cry? Do I want to hear this?
So I caught him in one of those glue traps. Highly effective.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're also very disgusting.
But then I was like, what am I going to do? Am I just going to leave him alive so he starves to death? And I'm sorry. I'm sorry this was a brutal way. I didn't know what to do. So I had him in a bucket. I had him in a 5-gallon bucket then.
Okay.
And I was like, I can't just let him. I didn't want him to starve to death because I felt like that would have been really cruel.
So he's trapped in glue.
Yeah, let me get this straight. You have a mouse stuck on a glue trap that they can't escape from.
Right.
And your first thought was, I don't want it to starve, so I'm going to put it in a bucket.
I put it in a bucket so in case it got out of the glue trap, too. Because it was like moving the whole glue trap. And I thought, this thing's going to get out of there.
Yeah,
okay, I'm listening.
So I take it outside and I'm like, what the heck am I going to do to this thing? Oh, it won't freeze to death because it's not going to get cold enough tonight.
Oh, my God.
So I'm looking around.
You didn't.
And I see a big old rock.
I knew you were going.
I saw a big rock in my garden. I thought, you know what? Let's send him to heaven. Boom.
Done. How many times did you have to throw at it to hit
the rock? The rock was like the perfect size to go right inside the bucket and just ate bullseye right on the thing.
Stoned him to death.
But I was so happy to have it out of my... I was like, that only took like 30 minutes from seeing him to catching him to destroying him.
I figured with your athletic prowess, you would have missed at least once, maybe twice.
With a smaller rock, possibly.
And then go, okay, this is the one. This is the one.
That's nothing. You guys should have. Oh, my dad was legendary when it came to killing animals.
Jeffrey Dahmer. Like, what?
Okay, rodent. Pests. Okay. Not sentient beings, but the way that he would kill squirrels was the absolute most brutal thing you've ever seen in your entire life.
Why was he killing squirrels?
Because they would eat stuff out of his garden. They would eat, like, cantaloupe and stuff out of the garden.
Well, nobody likes cantaloupe.
So he would kill them, and the way he didn't want to get blood on the squirrel trap, so he wouldn't shoot them. He had like, one of those, like, storage containers from Walmart filled with water. So he would trap the squirrel in the squirrel trap and then throw it in the tub of water and drown it.
Okay, for everybody listening right now, that would be considered a felony animal cruelty.
Oh, this was back in the 70s and 80s. Like, people that check that stuff.
Know, because
it was like 10 years ago.
That's sadistic. My brother used to shoot them with BB guns, same thing. And then he would, so we would have all these squirrel tails that were hanging in the garage, and it was
awesome.
Just awful. Oh my gosh. I'm like, you need to send him to therapy.
I can remember being in college at this. It was like the first house I ever lived in college.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, this is great. We just renovated it. There were mice. Like, there were so many mice in the middle of the night, you would hear just...
Oh, gross.
All over the house. And just I would be hungry. In my room. One night, I put like six traps above. There was an opening where a vent should have been.
Yeah.
So I put like six traps right there in the middle of the night. You just...
Sound like a drum solo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was going crazy. Did it again the next night. Same
gross.
Thing.
Oh, my
mice
gosh.
Are disgusting.
Everyone's saying, so happy you didn't add water to the bucket. They said, Kelly, you could have drowned it in the bucket. Yes, I could have, but I wanted it to be quick and painless.
Yeah, but just like father, like son.
Right.
Just let it, just,
no,
let it swim.
That's sadistic.
No, it's not. It's a mouse. Who cares?
Drowning animals.
There's trillions of them.
There
probably
is.
In the walls of my home. All right, let's do some history, guys. My dad was absolutely brutal, though. My dad was just brutal. My dad would shoot a 22-gauge rifle in the heart of North Minneapolis, killing squirrels that were eating on his bird feeder.
Why didn't he use a BB gun?
And I'm like, Dad, don't those bullets travel for like a mile?
That's excessive.
He's like, yeah, well, I'm shooting towards the ground.
Oh, my god!
I was like, okay.
That's the logic I needed in my life.
No. I remember one time I was riding my bike, and I come around the corner of the garage, and there's just a rifle barrel sticking out of the garage. And I'm like, my dad literally could have blown my head off me coming around the corner.
Yeesh.
Anyway, let's move on, shall we?
We shall.
It was on this day, all the way back in the year of our Lord, 1933.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is... fear itself.
FDR gave his famous "Nothing to Fear but Fear Itself" speech on this day back in 1933. Boy, presidents used to talk different, didn't they?
They could talk.
Watch yourself now. We don't get political.
Well, I mean,
on this day in 1994,
I was having a perfectly nice trip until you walked into my life.
I walked into your life. Who was that who talked my ear off on the plane? Who was that? I'm curious.
Well, who told you to book a room? I did, out of the goodness of my dumb old heart. Well, go ahead, sleep in the lobby, see if I care. I hope you wake up so stiff you can't even move.
We lost John Candy on this day back in 1994. Aww. And maybe, remember he was in the middle of filming that movie Wagons East, I think it was called?
Well, I have no idea.
So, yeah, he was in the, yeah, it was 94, you weren't even alive yet, were you?
No, I was. I was two.
Oh, okay.
I've never even heard of Wagons East.
Well, because it was just a terrible movie, so they tried to use, like, old footage.
Yeah.
And tried to like splice it in to make it so they could finish the movie. And it was so sad. Like it was just terribly done.
I just saw a clip. It was like John Candy. And I can't remember which movie it was, but he did a scene entirely hungover because he drank until 5:30 and did the scene at 6 in the morning.
Was it the Home Alone thing when he was the polka king of the.
No, but I wouldn't doubt if he did that one hungover.
Yeah.
I couldn't. But it was like a scene where he had to be hungover.
Yeah.
And be just disoriented. So he just drank the night before with somebody.
He would have to drink a lot.
I mean, yeah. He was not a small individual. No. I'm assuming he drank a lot.
By all accounts, one of the nicest guys ever in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Another sad note. I hate to do two of them on you guys, but
I want to do something with my life. You know, I want, when my time here is up, I don't want to look back and see that I didn't do anything.
On this day in 2019, Luke Perry passed away.
That ripped my heart.
It's already been since 2019.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
man.
My gosh. And then that was in the middle of the, what was the show with Archie, his son? And
Riverdale.
There you go.
And so then that was the one time they had to like write him off. I was like, oh, no. Him losing his dad was just crushing.
Terrible.
Oh, 8 Second Ride. Good movie.
That was a good movie.
Mm.
I only got one birthday for you guys today. Guess how old this person is?
That's my youngest, Brick. You know how you think giving a kid a cool name will make him cool? It doesn't.
You guys ever watch The Middle?
Yeah. Was that the mom?
Yeah. No. Patricia Heaton. She was also on, of course, Everybody Loves Raymond.
Malcolm in the Middle?
Malcolm. No, not Malcolm. The Middle. Just The Middle.
Just The Middle. No,
it was
Malcolm.
Just called The Middle, yeah.
How old is she?
56. Okay. That's your guess, Chelsea?
Oy. God, I hate this. 59.
Oh, you're both way low.
Oh.
Patricia Heaton is the ripe old age of 66 today.
Really?
Hey-o.
Yeah, man. She looks phenomenal.
Fantastic.
She has a great moisturizing routine.